North Carolina has not executed a prisoner since Samuel Flippin was put to death by lethal injection more than 10 years ago. 16 convicted murderers have been sent to death row since then. A court-ordered stay put a halt to executions as litigation over North Carolina's lethal injection protocol has dragged on. It's still pending today. Meanwhile, cost and key changes to North Carolina law have made it easier for prosecutors to be more selective about when to pursue the death penalty. Rusty Jacobs has this report.
John Hardister didn't always oppose the death penalty.
I've been a registered Republican since I was 17 and a half years old.
The conservative Republican lawmaker was in a debate class at Guilford College in his junior year. The topic was the death penalty.
In the process of this debate, it became apparent to me that the other side had better points.
Now, Hardister is 34, and he's a leading GOP legislator in the General Assembly. The Guilford County representative is House Majority Whip, and his conservative values are what led Hardister to his position opposing the death penalty.
I'm leery of government having too much power, and frankly, I'm leery of the government having the power to kill people for retribution. I don't trust the government to get it right. It's possible to convict the wrong person. That has happened.
And as a conservative, Hardister is troubled by the cost of trying death penalty cases.
It's actually more expensive to put somebody to death or to try them for a capital case than it is to sentence them to a life in prison without parole.
Studies show Hardister's correct. Economist Philip Cook is a professor with the Duke University Sanford School of Public Policy, and he studied state data from 2005 to 2006 to determine what it cost North Carolina to try murder cases capitally.
My estimate for both the trial courts and the appellate process was $11 million a year extra because the death penalty was being applied.
Kind of a rule of thumb, the average case that's declared capital costs four times what the average first-degree murder case that's not capital.
Tom Maher is executive director of the North Carolina Office of Indigent Defense Services. Created in 2000, IDS is responsible for providing representation to defendants in capital murder cases.
And so you're spending significantly more money, and you know the outcomes are actually oddly not that much different.
According to a fiscal year study, IDS found that over an eight-year period, the median cost of defending someone in a death penalty case was more than $60,000. The cost for non-death penalty cases was $14,920. And more importantly, Maher says, having the death penalty on the table didn't really affect the outcomes in plea deals.
The number of people who plead guilty to second-degree murder facing a capital prosecution and the number who plead guilty to second-degree murder facing a non-capital prosecution are almost identical.
Maher says he has tried to emphasize that point in meetings with district attorneys. Nobody knows better than Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman how costly pursuing the death penalty can be for prosecutors' offices. Each case gets two prosecutors plus their legal assistants. Jury selection is long and laborious, and in addition to the guilt-innocence phase of the trial, there's a separate hearing on sentencing.
Often that is all those prosecutors may be engaged in for 3 to 4 months out of a year. And so again, you know, these are cases, and they should be. It is our state's harshest punishment, but they are very resource-intensive.
And for Freeman, a Democrat, it's clear that in Wake County there's a diminishing return on that investment. Wake County juries declined to come back with the death penalty in 7 straight capital cases. Freeman says her office would be foolish not to acknowledge that trend and to have it inform the decisions they make about declaring cases capital. However, Freeman is not saying she would stop pursuing the death penalty in appropriate cases.
You know, as soon as the prosecutor is to say, we've decided we wouldn't pursue capital cases, then there'll be a case that the community and the justice cries out for the imposition of the most serious punishment under the law.
For Jim O'Neill, Timothy McVeigh's 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City is just such a case.
What's the appropriate punishment for killing 20 children? Life? To me, that's... It's disproportionate.
O'Neill is the Republican district attorney in Forsyth County, a job he has held since 2009. He was an assistant DA in that office for 13 years before that. Every time O'Neill enters or exits his office in Winston-Salem, he passes a bulletin board adorned with photos and other mementos.
And the reason I keep them out here is every morning I come in, I look at them, and every evening when I leave, I look at them too.
The photos are of victims in capital murder cases his office has handled. O'Neill recalls the tragic details from each of them.
Driving a cab here late at night, somebody put a gun to his head and he blew his head off. They could have went in and ransacked the whole house and took everything they wanted. There was no reason to do what they did to him, but they beat him with a hammer. And finally, coming out of the restaurant one night when he was accosted by somebody, robbed, they shot him, put him in the car.
For O'Neill, getting justice for these victims and their families means the cost of prosecuting death penalty cases is beside the point. And, O'Neill points out, his office only pursues the death penalty in a small fraction of murder cases.
In a place like Forsyth, where we average maybe 20 murders a year, there might be one case or two cases out of that 20 that is appropriate to be declared a capital case.
Juries in O'Neill's district have not had the same reluctance to sentence defendants to death as juries in Wake County. The last time a Wake County jury opted for death was in 2007. In Forsyth County, juries sent defendants to death row three times between 2008 and 2014. Polls tend to show a majority of North Carolinians still favor the death penalty. Still, prosecutors are seeking capital punishment less and less, not because of a decline in public support for the death penalty, but because they can. D.A. Jim O'Neill.
When I first started here, and you had a defendant that met the statutory criteria to proceed capital, you had no choice. You had to go forward. But in 2001, they gave prosecutors discretion, and I think, obviously, what you saw was a drastic reduction in the number of cases that were prosecuted capitally and death verdicts that were coming back.
O'Neill says once he determines a case is appropriate for the death penalty, he sits down with the victims' families and carefully discusses the options. He makes sure they have the emotional fortitude to endure what could take years to resolve.
It's not something that is going to happen in a year or 2 years if you're successful in terms of prosecuting it capitally. But it will go on, of course, with litigation for years and years to come.
Ben Street and his family had that conversation with the previous Forsyth County DA, Eric Saunders. Street's two-year-old niece, Brittany Nicole Hutton, was murdered in 1994 by her stepfather, Samuel Flippin.
There was no question in our minds that this should have been a capital case. Because you're talking about, again, a defenseless little two-year-old that was beaten for over a 20-minute period of time before she finally died.
Street says his family's commitment to seeking the ultimate punishment for his niece's killer never wavered, even though it would take a dozen years to happen. On August 18, 2006, the state put Samuel Flippin to death by lethal injection, the last execution to take place in North Carolina. Rusty Jacobs, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.